there's one thing I failed to do, and that was to see if there was any first-timers at our meeting. Someone not been to Northgate Chapel, we'd like to just share this moment with you by giving a packet of material and so forth. If you could just raise your hand. First time at Northgate Chapel? Okay. Brother Nathan.
Thank you very much. It's certainly been a privilege to have had the opportunity of ministering the Word of God here with you. We always count it a joy to come and to share with God's people and to fellowship together. This evening, I'd like you to turn your Bibles to 2 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, chapter 34. Shall we begin to read at verse 1? Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves, and the carved images, and the molten images. They break down the altars of Baalim in his presence, and the images that were on high above them he cut down, and the groves, and the carved images, and the molten images he break in pieces, and made dust of them, and strode it upon the graves of them that sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars, and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. Verse 10. And they put it in the hand of the workmen that had the oversight of the house of the Lord, and they gave it to the workmen that wrought in the house of the Lord to repair and amend the house. Verse 12. And the men did the work faithfully. And the overseers of them were Jahath and Obadiah. Verse 14. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. Verse 18. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. It came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahiakim, the son of Shaphan, and Abdon, the son of Micah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Azariah, a servant of the king, saying, Go inquire the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. Verse 31. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimony and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. And Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the countries that pertained to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. Moreover, Josiah kept the Passover unto the Lord in Jerusalem, and they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. And he set the priests in their charge and encouraged them to the service of the house of the Lord. Verse 7. And Josiah gave to the people of the flock lambs and kids, all for the Passover offering, for all that were present, to the number of 30,000 and 3,000 bullocks. These were of the king's substance. And his princes gave willingly unto the people, to the priests, and to the Levites. Verse 10. So the service was prepared, and the priests stood in their place, and the Levites in their courts, according to the king's commandment. Verse 16. So all the service of the Lord was prepared the same day to keep the Passover and to offer burnt offerings upon the altar of the Lord according to the commandment of King Josiah. And the children of Israel that were present kept the Passover at that time and the feast of unleavened bread 7 days. And there was no Passover like to that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet. Neither did all the kings of Israel keep such a Passover as Josiah kept, and the priests and the Levites and all Judah and Israel that were present, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. In the 18th year of the reign of Josiah was this Passover kept. After all this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, came up to fight against Carchemish by Euphrates. And Josiah went out against him. But Necho sent ambassadors to him, saying, What have I to do with thee, thou king of Judah? I come not against thee this day, but against the house wherewith I have war. For God commanded me to make haste. Forbear thee from meddling with God, who is with me, that he destroy thee not. Nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but disguised himself, that he might fight with him, and hearkened not unto the words of Necho from the mouth of God, and came to fight in the valley of Megiddo. And the archers shot at King Josiah. And the king said to his servants, Have me away, for I am sore wounded. His servants therefore took him up out of that chariot and put him in the second chariot that he had, and they brought him to Jerusalem, and he died and was buried in one of the sepulchres of his fathers. And all Judah and Jerusalem mourned for Josiah. So the Lord is able to bless to our hearts even that reading of his precious and holy word. One of the greatest presidents that your country, America, has ever known, one of the most powerful men this country has ever known, was Richard Milhouse Nixon. Richard Nixon was probably one of the smartest presidents that America has ever known. Probably one of the most successful men that this country has ever known. But one day, after being so successful, after being so popular, after having so much power in his grasp, after winning the country with such a giant landslide, Richard Nixon made one little mistake. Many people have said, being such a smart man, they don't know why he didn't destroy the tape. But it was before the tape that he made the mistake. He he tried to cover up for some of his subordinates. And today, every time the name of Richard Milhouse Nixon is mentioned, there is one word that comes across his life and in the minds of every individual who hears that name, who knows anything of his past. That word is Watergate. They will never let him forget. Watergate! And you look at his life, such a brilliant career, such a successful president, and you say, after all this, Watergate. When the president from Georgia, or the man from Georgia, the governor, whatever you want to call him, went to the White House, he promised many things. The word born again became a popular word, and I hear that someone asked him, what did being born again meant? And he said it meant being a good Baptist. Well, if that's his only concept of being born again, then I have my doubts whether he ever had an encounter with Jesus Christ, whether he ever knew the cleansing that comes from the blood of Jesus Christ in washing away our sins. He made an appointment, one of his many appointments that he made to special officers. I'm sure you're familiar with it. It was made to a young black man who was a very popular man at the time, Andy Young. He was made ambassador to the United Nations for the United States of America. Andy Young got in some hot water on different occasions with the press, made some blunders, but afterwards seemed to recover and seemed to be a very respected man. But then one day, after achieving so much, coming from a background that was almost impossible to be where he was, as you think of his background, being respected and being the leader almost of his race, Andy Young had a secret meeting with the PLO. And he had to resign in disgrace. And as you look at his life, you see one word, PLO. They will never let him forget. After being such a success, and after being thought so much of, representing his own country at the United Nations, he had to resign in disgrace. And you look at such a successful career, and you say, after all this, PLO. I believe, beloved, it is important to start well. But it is equally as important to end well. There are many, many people who have started well, and until you start, then you'll never know any of the difficulties of the Christian life. You must start. You must have your feet on a firm foundation. You must know that you're standing upon the rock, Christ Jesus, that's immovable. You must know that. You must know that you are made alive and have been quickened by the Spirit of God who lives within you. You must know that. But you must also know that the arch enemy of your soul is the devil. And the devil couldn't succeed in stopping you from receiving Jesus Christ. Now you are a Christian. He is going to work overtime to see that you become a disgrace to God and to the Christian church. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how great you are. Just this past week, I was reminded of a dear brother that I have known for such a long time. In the work full time, a fine minister of the Word of God, a man who did missionary work in some of the islands. But because he never realized, or maybe he did, maybe he didn't realize how great his soul was. And he was defeated. Yes, God has forgiven him. But he has had to give up his ministry. It was shocking to me to learn it, because as a little boy, I sat and listened at that man proclaim the Word of God. It has happened to some of the greatest. It happened to Josiah. I believe that Josiah was one of Israel's finest leaders. And I believe that when you get to glory, you'll discover that he was one of the greatest spiritual leaders that Israel ever knew. We have read a miniature account of what he did. You see, when he came on the scene, he was only 8 years old. And when he came on the scene, he was following his father, who did that which was evil in the sight of God, and had the people of God worshiping idols, and they had forgotten the law of God, and the word of God was disregarded. And when he came on the scene, he met a religious system that was corrupt. There were those who were saying, yes, we worship God, but then when you examine how they worship God, then you realize that they were living and they were actually in idolatry. And it was Josiah's task as a young man. As a very young man, to see that changed. May I remind you that the Lord Jesus Christ came on the scene with a similar situation. Do you know what they did to him? They crucified him. Because he dared to tell them that they were wrong. Because he dared to tell them that there was only a sham. Josiah was more successful. That was not Jesus Christ's mission to the earth, to change the way that they were carrying on. We know that he came to this earth not to set up an earthly kingdom, but he came to this earth with his face set, the scripture says, as a flint to go to Jerusalem, where he would suffer, where he would die, where he would become God's lamb who would be sacrificed for the sin of the whole world. But before Josiah could go about bring about the change that was necessary, we find some things that had to happen in his own life. It says in verse 2 that he did that which was right in the sight of God. Now there are many people who are trying to do that which is right, but they are trying to do that which is right in other people's eyes. You may do that which is right in the sight of the government. It doesn't necessarily mean that it will be right in God's eyes. Because there are governments that are corrupt. There are communist governments in the world. If you were set under a communist government, And they told you to go out and arrest your brother, or to spy on your brother, or to give information on your Christian brother who was worshiping God, you know that would be wrong. He did that which was right, not in his brethren's eyes, not in the eyes of his closest friends, but in the eyes of God. May I sound a note here this evening, beloved, that needs to be sounded across America, the Bahamas, throughout the entire world, especially the evangelical and the Christian world. There are too many people tonight who are trying to please everybody but God. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of David his father. Yes, it's good to walk in the ways of men who have gone before us. Paul said, be ye followers of me. You say, Paul, that's bad advice. And if that's all Paul said, that would be bad advice. But he said, even as I am of Jesus Christ, you follow me as I follow him. And let me say this, beloved brethren and sisters. We might say that people don't have to follow us. But there's not a one of us that someone isn't following. You go home and you check your life, either on the job, either in the church, could be just a neighbor. You say, well, I don't do anything. They're still following. He walked in the ways of David his father. That's important. That's why God has given us leaders. This brings a greater responsibility on the men whom God has chosen to lead the local church of God. When they realize that God is saying his word, that they are to be examples because others are following them. And it says he declined neither to the right hand nor to the left hand. He cut a straight path. There are too many Christians today, every little thing that happens, they turn aside. They're cold one day and they're hot another day. In fact, there are many who are, as the Word of God describes in Revelation, they are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot. But here was a young man, only 8 years old, and it says he declined neither to the right hand nor to the left hand. For in the 8th year of his reign, now he's 16. Now he's a fine young man. Verse 3. While he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. Let me say this. You see a progression. He doesn't go out and start tearing down the images. He starts first with himself, getting himself right with God. He starts by seeking to get a right relationship established between he and God, and to make sure that he is in fellowship with God, and to make sure he knows the ways of God and the will of God, not only for himself, but for the people. And then he goes to try to do the things that were needed to be done. Because we don't have time to deal with other passages, I want to suggest that when you go home, you look at 2 Kings chapter 23 for a further record, and also to Jeremiah chapters 1 through 12 to give us a true picture of the condition of the times in which Josiah lived. God's people had sunk to their lowest. There was every form of idolatry. I'll just list a few for you. These were God's people. In 2 Kings, it says this, verse 7 of chapter 23, and he brake down the house of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. They were actually using male prostitutes in religious worship. You talk about having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. These were people who once worshipped the living God. These were people who once listened at the voice of Almighty God. These were the people whom God had brought across the Red Sea with his mighty arm. They had known deliverance through the power of Almighty God.
Over in chapter 23 and verse 20, it says, and he slew all the priests of the high places that were there upon the altar, and burned men's bones upon them, and returned to Jerusalem. And the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover unto the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of the covenant. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, wherein this Passover was holden to the Lord in Jerusalem, moreover, the workers with familiar spirits, and the wizards, and the images, and the idols, and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, did Josiah put away devil worship. Yes, it was back then. Way back then. And his servants carried him in a chariot dead from Megiddo, brought him to Jerusalem, buried him in his own sepulcher, and the people of the land took Jehoash, the son of Josiah, and anointed him, and made him king in his father's stead. There was devil worship, there was witchcraft, and there were all of these wicked abominations that God's people had sunk into. But I want to read you verse 25. It says, and like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might according to all the law of Moses, neither after him arose there any like him. Now you believe that he was one of the greatest kings that Israel ever knew? The Word of God says so. You see, I believe it's easier to change a political structure than to change a religious structure. Sometimes it's, as we say, hard as pulling teeth to get some of our assemblies to change one little thing. Now, beloved, I don't know anything about your assembly, but I come up from the bottom as a little boy right on up through an assembly. Maybe before this assembly was even here, when some of you were probably over at the gospel center, I was going to a gospel chapel, and many of you were as well. But I know that sometimes it gets difficult for us to change things that we've held on to for years and years and years. Tradition becomes a part of us. That's a way of growing, we have a way of growing with it, I guess, and, it becomes such a part of us, it's difficult for us to see things differently sometimes. It has caused a lot of splits in local churches over the years. To change from one cup to individual cups. To change from having services. Sunday school had to be at 3 o'clock in the afternoon one time. Now we have it in the morning. Praise God. It makes it easy on everybody. Maybe you don't know about those times. But that was the way it was. That was the way the brethren had it, and that's the way it had to be. You know, beloved, I believe we can be so tied to the past that the devil can have us blinded to the reality of the present. And don't let be so hard. And don't let be so blinded. That while other churches around us are getting the headlines, and souls are being saved and added to the body of Jesus Christ, that we sit here and we say, well, it was good enough for Mr. Darby. It was good enough for my great-grandfather. It was good enough for William Kelly. And it's good enough for us. It is not. We stand tenaciously, do we hold to the doctrines of the Word of God. We wouldn't change, we wouldn't deviate one little bit for nothing in this world, beloved. But there are some areas in every local church that need to be examined every year. And I say that in time.
I'm not comparing any situation, any assembly, with what was, in actual fact, a reality in Josiah's time. But I am saying that Josiah was a young man who was prepared to stand up against things that were, that he knew were not in the best interest of God's people. And I believe that God calls on some of us sometimes to have some backbone and to stand up and to be firm and to be consistent. I know we get a lot of people today who want to come in and tear down, and they are not a part of our, of the local situation. They're not a part, they're not faithful to the assembly. I stand here tonight as one who is faithful, not only to the Lord, but I'm faithful to the assembly. I love the assembly. It hurts me to death to see certain trends as I move about, and I realize that things could be different if our brethren would just get their heads together, put aside petty differences, and move forward, march forward under a united banner to see things that the way God sees them, and to seek to bring glory to His name. In verse 10, we read about him having the workmen that had the oversight of the house of the Lord. And here we find that there is leadership that comes from within. It says the money that was gathered was put in the hands of the workmen that had the oversight of the house of the Lord. They gave it to the workmen that wrought in the house of the Lord to repair and to amend the house. And the men did the work faithfully. Beloved, that just doesn't mean the men only, but it means the sisters as well. It means every person who does anything in the service for God, whether it's giving out tracts, whether it's teaching a Sunday school class, whether it's standing to the door and shaking hands with people, or whether you are just a member of this local church. It's important that you do it and do it faithfully, because you are in this work and you are a part of the work. One of the things that upsets me as a preacher a great deal, and sometimes I'll just check in a certain area that I'm in, is to see people just neglect other people. You see, some of our assemblies have little cliques. And this little clique, they go and they greet their members, and even after the breaking of bread service, where we gather together for to remember the one body, to remember that every member of the Church of Jesus Christ is a member of that body. There are no schisms in the body. There's no division in the body, only that which we make. And I was in a church the other, just this past week, another man was preaching, and I went to visit. And I wasn't announced because I came in late. A lot of folks didn't know I was there, but a lot of people knew me. And I stood to the front of the building as the folk went out. And I saw older people who came and looked at me and just walked by. And I stood there just to see how many would look at this total stranger and pass that stranger by. Beloved, God must have looked down and been so displeased, because it was showing an attitude. He's a stranger. I don't know him. It's every person's business to know who comes into the gospel chapel, and to go back there and to greet them as quickly as you can, and to make them feel welcome. It burns me up, and I beg your pardon if it sounds like I'm being personal, but I'm not here, because I see it happen in so many places. It kills me. You know the people who came to greet me that evening? Only those who knew me. Beloved, they are important. Those people who visit your place for the first time. Maybe a Christian passing through. They need some hospitality. They need some friendship. And thank God there are those who are faithful, who are doing the work. The men did the work faithfully. You know, they also found the book that was lost. And that was one of the sins of Israel that caused them to be in the predicament that they were in. Because they had neglected the word of God. And over in verse 15 we find that they found the book. And when they found the book, they read it in the king's ear. You know what happened? When the king heard the word of the law, that he rent his clothes. Why? Because he realized that he and the people, he said in verse 21, go inquire the Lord for me. But he was also concerned about them, for he said, me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah, concerning the words of the book that is found, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. Beloved, God visits the sins of the fathers to the third and the fourth generation. And don't you ever forget, beloved, you are responsible. You and I are responsible for the word of God that we have. We are responsible to do what is in it. The commandments of God that are therein, we are to keep those commandments. And down in verse 26, we find it says this, and as for the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall you say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, concerning the words which thou hast heard. The words which thou hast heard from the word of God, it's important, beloved. God doesn't come down with an angel and call Christians into a little corner or into a little room and say, this is a message from God, but we heard this morning mentioned from the word of God by one of our brethren that God speaks in these times through his Son. How does his Son speak to us? Through the word of God. Speaking through the word of God. This is how God speaks to us. This is how God tells us his will for our lives. And we are responsible for what we hear. We're responsible. They should change us. We shouldn't rebel against the word of God. We should examine it. It says about Ruth, when she had gathered the barley, before she took it home to her mother-in-law, she beat it out. You might not accept everything that you hear. Some might be strange, might be something that you need to check out. Check it against the word of God. There are some Christians who take everything the preacher says, and if they don't like it, they hold it against him. I think we need to thresh it out. And there are some things that you disagree with. If it's not in accordance with the word of God, then leave it. Leave it. Don't hold it. Don't harbor it. Thrash it out. Only take on that which is pure. That which is the unadulterated word of God. But they had neglected the book. And because of that, God had neglected them. And don't ever forget. Verse 24 tells us, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof. A people that neglect God, God will not only neglect them, but neglect their country. Neglect their place. Neglect their home. They will not know the blessing of Almighty God. But then, he took the people aside when he realized all of this, and he made them to make a covenant before the Lord, to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies. And he said, here it is. Put your signature to it. This says that you are going to do this from this day forward. I give him credit for that. Sometimes God's people need to be brought to that point. They need to be challenged All of us need it, beloved.
It says he made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God in all his days. They departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. What a great man. What a great leader he was. Beloved, wouldn't you like to be a leader like that? Some of you sisters, wouldn't you like to lead like that? Not to lead your husband, but to lead other sisters. God knows that if there's a crisis in the church today, it's leadership crisis. Oh, how we need men who are going to stand up for what they believe and who are going to believe the Word of God and to live it and to lead others into a life of victory in Christ. But then verse 30, chapter 35, and our time is almost gone, tells us that King Josiah kept the Passover unto the Lord. He found when he read the book that they were supposed to keep a Passover similar to the feast that we keep here every Sunday morning to remember the Lord. What were they doing with that Passover? They were remembering that night when God brought them out of Egypt. They were remembering that it was a lamb who had been slain, and that lamb spoke of God's beloved Son, Jesus Christ, who would come into the world, who would go to the cross of Calvary and die in the stead of every person in Israel and the entire world. And they had neglected that. And there may be some here tonight. You are neglecting that very important feast. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body which was broken, which is going to be broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood." He was saying the Passover was for the Old Testament. Now there is going to be a remembrance feast. And every person who comes under the New Covenant, they are to remember me. You are not under the old covenant. You are under the new covenant here this evening, beloved. And yet there are many Christians in other denominations who say, "I can do it every 3 months. I can do it every 4 months. I can do it every month." But I think we need to follow what the New Testament teaches. And the scripture tells us that every first day of the week, the disciples gather together. And we follow that pattern. And he said, "As often as you do it, you do show forth the Lord's death." Beloved, we can't show forth that death enough. Let us do it. Let us do it unto him. They have neglected that. And I believe that in order to serve God faithfully, I believe we need to worship him in spirit and in truth and know how to worship him. You'll never be able to serve God successful until you know how to worship him in the right way. But in order to have that Passover feast, they had to have animals. And so that's why I read verse 7 of chapter 35. Josiah gave to the people of the flock, lambs and kids, all for the Passover offering. Why do you think I read it? I read it because you notice what he gave. He was a liberal giver. He was a sacrificial giver. He was a leader of God's people. Because it says in verse 8, after he had given, when the princes, those who were under him, saw what he had done, what does it say? They gave willingly. May I suggest, beloved, that the reason that God's beloved people are not giving as they ought to give is because there's a lack of confidence in leadership. And I don't know anything about this church here, but and maybe your leaders are just perfect here. They're all men who give. They're men who sacrifice.
And God's people are giving in abundance here. You don't know what to do with the money. You have to go open up your accounts every week. Maybe that's the way it is. I don't know. But I do know that many of God's people share with me as we move about in different cities, especially the Bahamas, where I know of the work down there. And our work is suffering in that particular area. And I want to suggest that maybe it's because that God's leaders, the leaders in the church, are not giving as they ought to give, and the people know it. Here's what it says in 2 Kings. I think this is important. It says in 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse 5, speaking of this same incident now, let them deliver the money into the hand of the doers of the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And may I say to some young men who might be here this evening, if God is leading you into doing the work of the oversight, you don't need anybody to put their hands on you. Just do the work. There are too many people who are seeking recognition. I believe in seeking recognition is people are seeking authority. And let me say here, that it is not an office. By no means is it an office, but it says, let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work. It's a work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord to repair the breaches of the house, unto carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. Verse 7. Howbeit there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hand, because they dealt faithfully. Beloved, that is important. It's important that you as individual Christians, when you think of your leaders here in the house of God, that you have confidence in them. And I want you to have total confidence in them. I want you to follow them with all your heart, even as they follow Jesus Christ. I don't want any reckoning to be made of them, wherever they may be. But many times, the leaders cause reckoning to be made because they do not deal faithfully. Now, as I move about here in the United States, now and again, I'll be sitting on the front row or in a seat, and some brother will read off a financial report. And you know, there are some things that are read off that just upset a lot of Christians. Because there's favoritism. One brother comes in, and he's given so much money. Another brother comes in for the same period of time, but he might be classed as a little better preacher, and so he's given a lot more. And who knows but that the brother who was a weaker brother might be, in God's sight, bringing more glory to God. And the people get upset with things like that. It says these people, they dealt faithfully. Oh, beloved, that everywhere there might be men who will deal faithfully with that which has been given to them to deal with the house of God and the doings in the house of God. We read there was no Passover like to that kept in Israel. None like it from the days of Samuel the prophet. Neither did the kings of Israel keep such a Passover. Beloved, I want to remind you that our three great enemies are the world, the flesh, and the devil. The devil is working through the flesh. The lust of the flesh and the pride of life. The devil is working through the world. Necho, king of Egypt, comes up. Josiah is 26 years old. He had accomplished all of that when he was only 26 years of age. And it says after all of that, When he had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, came up to fight against Carchemish. And may I remind you that Egypt is a type of the world. He was defeated by the world. Necho said, I want to pass through your land. God has given me permission to pass through your land. He said, I want to fight. And we find him failing to look up and getting his instructions from God. And it even says this about him in verse 22. He disguised himself. Josiah didn't need to disguise himself. He was too great a man, too respected a man, too powerful a man. But he disguised himself that he might get in a fight. But he was fighting on his own. Before, he was fighting the enemies of God and the strength of God. And God was giving him the victory. But now he's fighting in the arm of the flesh, and he's fighting the world. And the world is going to defeat him. He disobeyed the word of God. Because Necho said in verse 22 that the words that I'm speaking are from the mouth of God. They were at the very oracles of God. And he disobeyed. And the archer shot at King Josiah. And I think the last three words are three of the saddest words in this entire book. And he died. And he was buried. And all Judah and Jerusalem mourned for Josiah. They all mourned for Josiah. May I remind you, beloved, dearly beloved, because the same enemies that you face, I face every day. And I remind myself, as I remind you this evening, that the Lord is saying to us, don't be defeated. Don't end bad. End good. Paul reminds the Christians in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 that we are all running a race. He said we are fighting. Paul said, I want to remind you, we're not beating the air. We're not shadow boxing. But our enemy is a real, vibrant force. Oh, don't let anybody tell you that the devil is not real. The devil is real. Paul says, I therefore so run, not uncertainly. I fight, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body, then bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a what? Cast away, be disapproved. It has happened to greater men and greater women than any of us, beloved. It can happen to any of us. Oh, let's be careful. I'm reminded of the prince who was running in a race for the hand of a princess. And unknown to any of those who were in the race, there were other princes running. But this prince, he had his eyes set upon that beautiful princess. He was to have her for his own. And as he ran, he realized that if he kept his eye on the goal and ran as hard as he could, that he stood a chance to win. He did that. But as they ran, the others looked down. They noticed along the pathway there were golden apples. And they stooped down to pick up those golden apples. They kept them back. Paul says, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. They picked up the golden apples. They got their eyes upon the goal. They got their eyes upon the things of the world. They thought what they could do with that. His eye was on the princess. He won the prize. Paul is looking off unto Jesus. Looking off unto Jesus. Let's run the race that is set before us. Let us start well, beloved. But let us end well. Let us finish this race that is set before us. And Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which God, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day. May these few remarks this evening, beloved, be that which will strengthen us, strengthen our local testimony, strengthen us who are leaders in any department, whether young people's leaders, leaders in the church, leaders in the Sunday school, whatever area, leaders in a water, whatever it may be, realize that others are following. May we run successfully for his name.